As we mentioned earlier in the service, today is a day where we remember not just the fact that Christ will be coming or will be born, as we will celebrate that in a few weeks, but that we also remember him as the Prince of Peace. So our message today is about peace. How much peace is in the world today? How much? A little bit? A lot? Never ending. No peace. Now, I don't think there's peace in this world. Do you? Anybody here feel that there's peace?
Yes.
I'm sorry?
In certain areas.
Okay.
I agree a little bit,
yeah. Okay, okay. Amanda? Yeah?
There's peace in our heart.
Okay, we're going to get there. That's very clear. That's the key. We're going to focus on that. But just as an interesting fact, as you know, I like to look up stuff and find statistics and so on. Oh, a former president of the Norwegian Academy of Sciences and historians from England, as well as historians from England, Egypt, Germany, and India, came up with a startling fact. Since 3600 BC, so almost 5,000 years ago, the world has only known 292 years of peace. That's 292 years out of 5,600. During this period, there have been 14,351 wars in which 3.6 billion people have been killed. That's half the population of what's on the earth today. The value of the property destroyed would pay for a golden belt that would go around the world, 97 miles wide and 33 feet thick. Since 650 BC, there have also been 1,656 arms races. Some of us have been around for some of those, if you think of the Cuban Missile Crisis and others. Only 16 of those arms races have not ended in war. The remainder ended in economic collapse of the countries involved. And if you've been following the news, there is the falling of a country that took place basically yesterday. Okay, Syria. And prophecy is being fulfilled, folks. We can't avoid that. And when you see these things happening, yes, be aware, watch. But the message that we are given by Jesus Christ is be ready. Always be ready. So back in the time Isaiah wrote, he actually talked about peace. And in Isaiah 59 verse 8, he said, "The way of peace they do not know. There's no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one walks along them. No one who walks along them will know peace." And then again, Paul, he actually quotes this, and he says, "The way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And it's interesting that both Isaiah and Paul use this phrase, "the way of peace." See, peace isn't something that just happens. It is a way. It is a journey. We know in other parts of the Bible where Paul actually at one time used the word "the way." Christians were viewed as the people who keep the way. Okay? The way of peace this world today does not know. We do not know the way of peace. But there are some exceptions. You see, at this time of the year, we're celebrating and we're recognizing the fact that there is a source and there is a gift of peace that is available to all of us. In Isaiah, he prophesied it. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. That'll be amazing, right? That means the kingdom will be here and the government will be run by Jesus Christ. Okay. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He will be called the Prince of Peace. So Isaiah talks about what we now know today of Jesus Christ coming as a Prince of Peace. And in Luke, John the Baptist himself, he writes, he says, I'm coming here, I'm announcing somebody who's going to talk about the way of peace. He says he's going to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And he's going to do what? He's going to guide our feet into the path or into the way of peace. Christ is going to guide us into that. You can ask the question, and unfortunately, people seem to think the answer is yes. Is there a way to find inner peace or peace without God? Is there a way? Is there a way in how we can walk? Or is there something that we can do to bring peace? Is there a way to inner peace? Now, there's a little bit of a joke, I know, but there was an email that was sent out recently to the author of a little commentary. He said, a wise man said to me, the way to achieve inner peace is to finish all the things you've started. Okay? Finish all the things you've started. So he said, I looked around the house to see all the things I started and hadn't finished. And before leaving the house this morning, I finished off the red wine, a bottle of white, the Prozac, some Valium, there was cheesecake, and a box of chocolates. And you say, you don't know how good I felt. Well, that's one road to peace, isn't it? But that one didn't last because, as he says, it wore off the next morning. The question was asked one time, if you could choose what you want most in life, there was quite a large survey done, what would you ask for? And the most common answer was peace. Peace. Not just peace in the world where there are armies fighting and nations and so on, but peace inside. The peace that we need. People want peace. When they answered this survey, they wanted peace in their marriages, in their families, in their workplaces. Yes, they want peace in their country and in their world. You know, in the U.S. and Canada, we have the best medical and psychological treatment centers in the world. We have high educational institutions. We have amazing communication capabilities with the internet and our mobile phones and watches and all those things. Yet with all these things, most people are without inner peace. The results are devastating. There are broken marriages, split families, hatred, rebellion, financial anxiety, countries that are totally unsettled. Just as a small commentary, having been in the U.S. the last 2 weeks, that is not a settled country, folks. It's not a settled country. There is tremendous division, and you have to be careful who you are talking to now, because they have chosen a side, and they're going to make sure you know about it, okay? And they make decisions. They make decisions that are divisive. One group of people said, you know what, we're never going to shop at Walmart, we're never going to shop at Home Depot, we're never going to shop at Ace Hardware anymore, because they gave and donated to the Trump campaign. Now, I don't care about the politics of all of that, but that's divisive. That's because they're not happy that there is no peace. People are making these kinds of decisions. And the unfortunate part is the world does have its answers for peace. Can you think of any? I'm going to ask you. Can you think of some answers that the world today uses to try and bring peace?
Well, Notre Dame in the opening, so architectural, historical monuments, and, you know.
Okay, that was good. They brought things. Peter, did you have something? No?
Brian,
how do some people bring peace into their lives?
Positive communication.
Positive communication. Very rare, but that happens. Any others?
Peace, joy, love, and kindness.
Peace, love, and kindness. Yeah, Peter.
Alcohol.
Yes.
Drugs.
That's it. People try to bring peace to themselves by self-satisfying their selves. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, immoral relationships, constantly just watching entertainment the whole time. You know, binge watching, because if I'm binge watching for hours and hours on end, then I don't have time to think about all the other things, so I'm sort of at peace.
Staying home.
People do get separated. Yeah, they just don't want to have any more. I'm out of here. Okay? Any more?
Cell phones.
Just
oversleeping.
Well, yeah, I like that part. Yeah. But yeah, you sleep too much.
Okay.
Yeah. Helping others is a good thing.
Yeah.
I like that.
But it does.
But it does help to serve. But what happens is, you know, I'll use that example. It'll just, I'm out of here, is an answer that happens with breakups and marriages and relationships and so on. And people just refuse to want to face the problems in their lives because they're not willing to find the peace, the gift of peace that is available to them. See, the world has never had the answer to peace, and it won't. Until we can have, and we do choose, to have real peace. True peace comes not from a man. True peace comes from God. Chris Holland wrote this quote. He says, "True peace is more than the absence of conflict. Whether it's conflict between countries, conflict within relationships, or whatever. True peace is more than the absence of conflict. It is the abiding presence of God." You see, when we were reconciled to God, and when you reconcile, whether it's through repentance, and you have received Jesus Christ into your life, then we can have peace. We can have peace. You see, in Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He paid the penalty for our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. The punishment that brought us peace was on Jesus Christ. And by his wounds, we are healed." You know what's interesting? It says here, because he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. By doing so, he paid the penalty of the breaking of the law of love. Jesus Christ, when he was born sinless. He had no sin at the moment of his birth. The incredible thing is that for the next 33 years, he still did not sin with all the temptations of the world that was around him. Of course, Satan tried to tempt him right away in his later life. But for all those years, he remained sinless so that he can bring us peace inside. In Romans chapter 5, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Our justification meaning that when we received Christ, we instantly were justified. We were viewed as righteous in the sight of God the Father, and we are guaranteed eternal life. And therefore, he says, since we have been justified through faith, not for how much penance you do or work that you do or money that you give. It says, since we've been justified through faith, faith comes from grace, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ himself said, I have told you these things so that in me, when we abide in Christ and Christ abides in us, so that in me you may have peace in this world, you'll have no trouble. You will have trouble, in this world, but take heart. I've overcome the world. How did he overcome the world? He lived for 33 years without sinning once. See, peace is a gift. It is a gift, and it's a gift because God is a gracious God. He is full of grace and mercy, and he gives us this gift that will allow us to have inner peace. Even Paul himself writes in all of his letters and epistles, 17 times he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. It's probably the highest blessing that we have been given. It is peace with God and the rest that we can have in our souls in him. The peace which comes from Christ and through him. And when we have that peace, then we carry no gloom from the past, no forebodings, no worries for the future, no pursuing vengeance, no depressing fear. We can stand strong and calm amid the troubles of this world. It's a divine peace that we are given. And it's a gift that no one in the world can take away from any of us. And we sort of think, okay, well, you know what? I had a really difficult week. I've had a really difficult 2 months. No, actually, this year has been really tough. Okay? And you sort of say, well, where's the inner peace? Where's the inner peace? If you've not been on your knees, if you've not gone to God and said, I'm crying out to you, help me. If you've not sat down and opened the Bible and read a psalm that's given you encouragement. If you've not sat next to somebody or called up somebody in the church and another believer who has who can give you some encouragement and can share love with you, then yes, you're right. You won't have inner peace. But if you pray to God, if you read his word, if you read the comfort and consolation that he can provide, if you get the benefit of answered prayer, you will receive inner peace when those things happen. Even in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I didn't put it on the screen. Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. And I know that sometimes when the storms are swelling around you and you just can't see how am I going to get through this day, or you wake up in the morning with anxiety, you come to Christ and he will give you peace. He really will do that. You know some of my family background, and I can promise you he answers the prayer and he gives you inner peace to get you through each day. And he says, one day at a time, one day is sufficient. He will give you inner peace. And that peace comes because Jesus Christ died on the cross. He came to this earth as the Prince of Peace so that we can have peace. But that's a gift that we get. That's a gift that we have been given. That's a gift that if you want to talk about it, open it up. When you open that gift of peace, that's when the prayer and the reading and the encouragement and the love and the fellowship and the sharing and the serving all starts to happen. But that's a gift that we get. But it's a gift that we're to share. It's a gift that we not only have inner peace, but that as ambassadors for the kingdom, as ambassadors for Christ, it is our duty to show peace outwardly. That's part of our calling. It's our duty to promote peace and to try and restore it where we have given opportunities between man and God, between man and man, between peace within ourselves if there isn't any, if there's friction or there's a problem, peace in our community. See, when we recognize the birth and sacrifice of Christ, then we can not only receive this gift, we can share it. I think I have time. I'll give you a tiny little story. It happened when we were in Tucson. My wife and my grandson's name is Miles, they went shopping at a local grocery store, and we were using my son-in-law's orange Subaru, nice little car, and my wife and grandson parked in the parking lot, and when my wife came out, this lady came running up to her and said, "You scratched my car! You scratched my car! I can see you scratched my car! Look, I can see a little bit of white paint on your car! You scratched my car!" And my wife went ballistic. She said, "You're scamming me! We didn't move the car! Your car wasn't anywhere close!" And the woman says, "I'm going to take your picture. I'm going to take the picture of the license plate. I'm going to call the police. You scratched my car." And my wife is going, "I didn't scratch." And this yelling match just kept on going. They get home, and my wife tells me the story. I said, "Well, what happened?" She says, "Well, Miles walked out a couple of minutes later from the grocery store." Now, Miles is 21, 22 years old. Very calm. He walks up and he said, "What's going on?" And this woman says, "You scratched my car!" Miles says, "Madam, I'm really sorry that your car got scratched. That's a real shame. But we didn't do it." And she said, "What?" He says, "No." He says, "I came here with my grandmother, and we just parked in this spot. Your car is 5 cars down. We were nowhere close to your car. I'm really sorry that that happened to you." And the woman turned around and said, "You know what? You're a nice guy. Thank you very much." And she said to my wife, "You've got a really nice son. He's been well brought up." And my wife said, "Well, no, it's my daughter's son." And she said, "Well, thank you. Tell her." That was peace in action. And that's what we can do. See? There was a situation where you can be calm. And by the way, my wife was very forgiving at the end. So please, I don't think my wife any less of her because of that. But that was a confrontation. And we get into these, don't we? Whether it's between in our relationships with other people. Boy, somebody can just press that button or press that trigger, and out we will pop with something that actually we regret we ever said. We've been given a gift of peace. We've been given a gift of peace so that we can show what it's like to have peace. When we were praying this morning, we talked about, and it was prayed, I think Peter was in it, was talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." This is Jesus Christ talking. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace, the peace of Jesus Christ I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." This is a gift that is a heart changer. The Holy Spirit is what changes our hearts. We can't change it. It requires the Spirit to change our hearts, to soften our hearts, to be at peace in ourselves, and to show outwardly peace. And part of that fruit of doing that is we bear the fruit of the Spirit in us. And it doesn't happen the moment that you receive Christ. It's called the way of peace. It grows. We learn. We experience. We show. The Holy Spirit works in us and we bear the fruit. And that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All of us who have received Christ have this gift, and we're to use it. It's a gift we've received, but a gift that we share. We can bring peace to others by living for God's glory and not for ourselves. We can bring peace to others by living for God's glory. And how can we do it? With our changed hearts, with the Holy Spirit. We can do it this way. In Colossians, as chosen people, dearly loved, clothe yourselves. We can bring peace to others through compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We can bear with each other, and sometimes we really need to. And forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And all of these virtues put on love, which binds them all together, and let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. May we receive the gift of peace, and may we give the gift of peace to those around us by our examples. Christ came to this world as the Prince of Peace. He came and preached peace to us and preached to all in this world. He brings us a peace, an inner peace that is a gift. It gives us a peace of mind. It gives us the ability to be still and to wait. He gives us a peace so that we can put our worries aside and not be anxious. He's given us a peace so that we can find rest for our souls. That we can rest in hope, as I'm sure you learned last week. And he's given us this peace, this rest in God, the rest in salvation. In Psalm 85, it says, I will listen to what God the Lord says. I think there was a prayer this morning about let our ears be, what was it? What was the phrase again?
Not be lazy.
Let our ears not be lazy. I love that. Let our ears not be lazy. I will listen to what God the Lord says because he promises peace to his people, his faithful servants. But let them not turn to folly. Let's don't go and use the world ways to find peace. We find peace from Christ and the Holy Spirit. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, and that his glory may dwell in our land. Great God, our Father in heaven, what an amazing gift. And we will celebrate as we prepare over the next coming weeks, and be reminded of the birth of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That when he came to this earth, he brought peace. Peace that we can receive upon repentance. Peace that when we receive it will be a heart changer. Peace that will give us inner peace and rest. Peace that is a way, the way of peace, that we will walk in a way of peace, that we can give that gift and share that gift with those who are around us, and they can see what's different in us from those around us in the world, that we live in peace with each other, and that we have this peace that you have given us. What a tremendous gift. So, great God, may we just treasure this gift that you have given us. May we share it with others. And we just ask that you hear our thanks and praise for what your Son, our Savior, has done so that we may receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
After hearing this sermon, I'd like to change the last hymn. And so instead of 206, it will be 147, I think. I think this hymn for me, Carol, typifies or represents peace in the sense that I think there is a recognition sometimes that Jesus does live in the hell holes of this world. And I'm reminded of that he can bring peace. I don't know if it was the First World War or the Second World War, but entrenched warfare on both sides stopped at Christmas time. And I wonder what it was like to be there and hear the Germans singing in their tongue, Silent Night, and the Allies singing in their, And so Jesus does show up in strange places, and even in our own turmoil. So also a reminder that the brownies and coffee and sausages are all church.
South Korea, it seems that there's a never-ending fortunate and we live in our area. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this church being able to give to the members of this area things, food and clothing and financial help. Things that we have, we take for granted, and they don't have. So we just lift up your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ, and thank you for everything you give us. Amen.
Amen. We could stay standing and you can read with me this benediction. Let peace live in our hearts and share the peace of Christ with all we meet. Share peace by demonstrating compassion and not fear. Share peace by giving the benefit of the doubt. Share peace by prayer for our world. As we go out into the world, share peace with those we meet. Amen.